Okay, we'd like to thank Karen and Jacob Levis for sponsoring this morning's Locks to Learn Le'ilu Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, then Hashem should have an Aliyah. And so we are continuing off of where we left off last week. We were talking about the honor that is due to various segments of people that we may know in different hierarchies and layers. We focused primarily last week on the honor that is given from a teacher to a student. We're going to briefly reread the Mishnah. We'll have a few more ideas related to teacher-student, and then we're going to transition as well to the honor of a friend to a friend, as well as the honor, or more correct translation, reverence, as it comes to a student should have to a teacher. So let's reread the Mishnah, source A. Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua Omer, Yihi chavo talmidcha chaviv alecha kishelcha. The honor of your student should be as dear to you as your own. So it should be as much honor as you give yourself. You should have that at least beloved to you should be the same. Uchvod chavercha kemor rabcha. The honor you give your colleague should be as the reverence that you give to your teacher, and the mor rabcha, the reverence that you give to your teacher, should be kemor shamayim, the reverence that you give to heaven, presumably a metaphor for God. So let's start off by looking at source number 8. We're going to skip 7 for now. The Abar Benel is actually going to help connect this to the previous Mishnah. If anybody remembers the previous Mishnah from however many weeks ago it was, the Mishnah talked about a kinesia l'shem shemayim, gatherings for the sake of heaven. So what does this have to do with gatherings for the sake of heaven? So look at the Abar Benel, source number 8. Va'kavana b'shtei agirsos achas. Remember last week, the Abar Benel was just referencing that we had two different versions of the first clause of our Mishnah. We might get to that a little bit later, but for now, just keep that in mind. Realize that at least there's two versions of the first clause. So either clause, doesn't matter which way you go, the purpose is as follows. Vihi, ki ba'avor sha'amar Rabbi Yochanan HaSanler. Because Rabbi Yochanan HaSanler said previously, kol kenesia shilashim shamayim sofa l'skayim. We have a gathering that is for the sake of heaven. It will endure. Ra'a Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua, la'seis haderach haroi l'shiyiskayim ha'kibbutz bein ha'anashim. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua is giving us a tip of how to gather people together, l'shem shamayim. How can it be that we can all come together for one unified purpose, for the sake of heaven? And what's that? V'hu, v'shiyichaveiv kavod zulasa umara'o. The only way to do it is if we honor and respect and revere each other. V'chol echa b'madregaso ad hatachlis ha'achron. And each one, to again, the honor and respect has to be within reason. It can't be sort of overdone if it's not deserved. But everybody gets some level of respect. And without that, we will never be able to gather together as a unified whole for the sake and the purpose of Shamayim. So Barbanel ties this in, that the way to come together is by giving each other all the proper respect. And as he continues in the next paragraph, Vasab is Esholosh Madregos. Again, there's a hierarchy, three levels. La'adam imazul asar mimenu. How do I relate to somebody who is either younger or on a quote unquote lower hierarchical level than I am? Vim shiyaz shavelo, or somebody who's on the same level as I am. Vim shiyaz gadol mimenu, or somebody who's greater than I am. V'nasan aderech echis nagim kol echad mayam. And Rabbi Lazar is giving us the way how we can interact with each one of these categories, k'dei shizkayim behem b'neim chut ha'aba, so that it can increase love. And then, once the love is there, via k'nasiyah l'shim shamayim miskayemes, then our gathering can withhold and be successful in the long run. So that's the Abar Benel ties it into the previous Mishnah. I think it's a beautiful idea. The way to come together is by giving each other the proper respect. The Pirkei Moshe, which we're going to spend the bulk of this morning speaking about and analyzing, is source number 9. If you see, it starts on this page, and then if you, depending on which version you have, flips over to the next side or the next page. And there's 8 different levels here to what he's about to say. He's going to take this Mishnah and analyze it really in depth. And from his analysis, we're going to get to a greater, better understanding of the Mishnah, as well as some very important lessons to take away from the Mishnah. So let's see this Pirkei Moshe inside. 9a. Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua Omer. Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua says, Yikvot tamidcha chabib alacha kishalcha, kvot chavercha kamor rabcha. So you should, the honor of your student should be as beloved to you as your own, and the honor for your friend like the reverence that you have for your teacher. Hine. So here's where he starts talking, end of the first line. Misadar Mishnayos Libo Ra'a Lahavi Mishnayos Acheros Lahafsik B'ma'oz Hanaga Ru'uya L'tikun HaKavana HaNechona B'shloshet Dvarim HaNizkar. So the Pirkei Moshe, as we've seen in the past, okay, this is extra credit questions. What have we seen the style of the Pirkei Moshe is? It's not what he's about to do. What is the style of the Pirkei Moshe, Rabbi Moshe Amos Nino, where he tells us that we can look at every Mishnah in two different perspectives? What are those two different perspectives? Everybody's averting their eyes. They're afraid the teacher's going to call on them. Right? What are the two different perspectives? No. Either we look at it from a natural, psychological, teva perspective, or we look and understand the Mishnah from a supernatural perspective. Okay, that was just a quiz. That's not what he's about to talk about now. There's another running theme that he has, though, that we haven't highlighted, is that what we've mentioned it in the past briefly, that all of the Mishnayos go back to a paradigm of Al Shoshet Dvarim HaOlam Omed, that the world stands on three things, on Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, and he then looks at all other Mishnayos as basically an elaboration of those concepts, of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. So let's see what he says here. Again, so he says, the Misadar Mishnayos, the one who organized the Mishnayos, saw that he wants to organize it in order to strengthen these three different things, the Shloshet Dvarim HaNizkarim, the three things we have spoken about in the past, Behem, HaTorah, VaAvodah, VaGemilas Chasadim. The whole, it's very fascinating, the whole Pirkei Avos, not just, right, the Mishnah says, Al Shloshet Dvarim HaOlam Omed, the world stands on three things. According to the Pirkei Moshe, the whole Pirkei Avos stands on these three things too. That the whole thing is basically just an elaboration and a commentary on these three ideas, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Shechelkei Ashleimos Kemedubar, these are the three parts to perfection or aspiration to having a whole life. V'hunach Maimor Zeh Ashalim Imamarei Chamisha Shleimim HaNimshachim Acharav. So this Tana, this author of our Mishnah, is grouped together with the five previous statements. La Yashira Kavana L'Shleimus Achelek HaRishon V'Achelek HaTorah. These are all for the sake, the whole purpose of this Mishnah and the previous five are to strengthen the concept of learning Torah. Now that's a big read in the Mishnah, right? Did the Mishnah say anything about Torah? The Mishnah is talking about honor. Doesn't say anything about Torah. He's reading the point of this Mishnah as being one to strengthen the study of Torah. And that's going to frame the message of our Mishnah very powerfully. V'hine, Zeh HaShalim, we're in the middle of the 9a, basically smack in the middle of that paragraph, four lines in after the period. V'hine, Zeh HaShalim, Bir HaAnhaga HaRu'uya Derech Klalos Bein HaLomdim. This is how students, people who are learning, or teachers, anybody who's in the yeshivas, in the Beis Medrash, in the classroom, this is how they should interact with each other. This is all a message about how to learn well. The way to learn well is that all the players and actors in the classroom have to have respect for each other, not because it's nice and not because everybody loves each other and we all live happily ever after. That's true, but because that's how you enhance the learning experience if everybody gives each other the proper honor. If you don't honor each other, you're going to lose the companionship and the camaraderie of the classroom. And that's the only reason why anybody's learning, is because they're together, is that group of people sitting and learning together. The second that disintegrates because you don't give each other the proper honor, the learning stops as well. So we need to know how a teacher interacts with a student, as well as how a student, a Talmud im Arav, interacts with a teacher, and HaChaver im HaChaver, how do students interact with each other. That's the purpose of this Mishnah, to teach us how to interact for the sake of learning. Right? If your classroom is in pieces because nobody likes each other, you're not going to learn that much. The teacher doesn't like the students, the student doesn't like the teacher, the students don't like each other, the learning is not going to be effective.
How come he brings only the Bar-Ilan? Why not general?
Why? That's how he's understanding. He's understanding this Mishnah as being a part of the Torah. Here's where your meta views as a commentator are going to impact how you understand each Mishnah. As we said, the Mishnah doesn't say specifically about learning, but because the Pirkei Moshe is assuming that all Mishnayos are either Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, and he's looking at the Torah framework, the context that the other Mishnayos, at least how he read them, have to do with Torah, he's going to assume this means Torah as well. You can make the same argument for Avodah, right? If Avodah means Tefillah, right, and you're in a shul, and any shul that's together, any shul that where everybody's fighting, and the rabbi doesn't like the congregants, and the congregants don't like the rabbi, and the congregants don't like each other, it's not going to be a successful davening either, and the same could be true with Gemilas Chasadim, but you're right, he is picking and saying that this is talking about Talmud Torah, even though the message in theory could apply to any of the other concepts as well. Okay, so let's go. He's not done yet. 9b. These sections are my sections. He doesn't section them up. They're just different paragraphs. I just made it easier to follow here. But his here, El Hashalei Masher Imo Yichud Adibor, Biyoso Mazir Al Kiyum Halimud Biyado, Achar Asher Malei Kreso Mimenu, V'Niach Hanagasor Uyalo Im Talmido Shulamat Mimenu. So we start off with how does the teacher go and now interact with the student? That's the first part of the Mishnah. The person who's already studied, what's the proper way to interact with the student? As well as Im Chavera Shavalo, right? How do the teachers act in the teacher's room? Right? What's that environment like? Are the teachers fighting with each other? Are they coming together? Are they complaining about the administration? Are they complaining about the students with each other? Okay, so that's all probably not what the Mishnah wants us to do, but that's something that we want to be thinking about here. What's the interaction between teacher and peer? Vim chavero shavalo, vim rabo shulamal bimenu. And as well as, I don't know if you want to call the administrators your rebbeim, but on some level, on a hierarchical status, they are above you as a teacher. So how do you deal with them? Okay, so don't show this to them. You have to treat them like Shamayim, right? But, you know, we'll get to they're already high enough. You don't have to, okay. We're not talking about anybody in particular. We're just, okay. Ach, amana kadeshi na'amod al nachon abanas kavanah. So roilis or bedvar bal katzasfei. Because before we actually understand what he's talking about, we have to ask ourselves a few questions on the Mishnah. What are these questions? Ma lufi gam girsas Rashi. Both according to Rashi's girsa, the garsi kvot hamilcha chavav alacha kishel chavercha. So now we'll repeat the different girsas, the different versions. One version is, not our version, Rashi's version is that when it says, how does a teacher relate to a student? It says the teacher should relate to the student as a chaver, as a peer. So a teacher should relate to the student like the student is a fellow teacher. That's Rashi's version. That's not our version. Our version is a teacher should relate to a student with the same enthusiasm as himself. Okay, but so he's going to say the same questions are going to apply to both versions here. So ma gam lefi girsas Rashi, the garsi kvot hamilcha chavav alacha keshel chavercha, she agirsa hanechona. He thinks that's the right girsa. So our Mishnah, our version according to Rashi is wrong. Our version according to the Pirkei Moshe is wrong as well. The correct version is Rashi's version. Shem shalosh madregos umashva echad lacheres achar lemaila mimenu. So now, so let's just revisit this according to Rashi to get it in our head, because that's going to be the assumption that he's going to be making. Is that step one is that a teacher treats a student like a fellow teacher. How does a teacher treat a fellow teacher? With the respect of a rav, of his teacher. And how does a teacher treat the rav like God? Right? So it's each one is a step up. And it flows nicely. According to our version, it's a little bit different. The first clause has a different message than the second and third clauses. According to this, each clause just means treat the level you're at, treat the level that they're in reality are at, go one above. Okay, and then it flows as a ladder. Okay, so now, assuming that, now we're up to 9c. Hasafik arishon hu. The first question we have is Shayira be'emes sheshloshta madrega achas. This is the point we made last week. If you think about it, they're really all saying the same thing. Why? Because what was our mathematical equation that proved this? If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So if you're saying that the student, that the Rebbe has to treat the student like a peer, and a peer, and you have to, and you have to treat a peer like his rabbi, and you have to treat his rabbi like Shamayim, then you're basically saying that you have to treat the student like Shamayim. Because if A equals B, then B equals C, then A equals C, etc. So now, so Asafik Harishon, again, 9C. Sheyira Be'emes Shoshto Madregachas, it's only one level. Ki Achar Shehishve Kabar Atam and the Kabar Achaber, after we said that the honor due to the student is the same as the honor due to a peer, V'achar Kachishve Kabar Achaber L'mora Arav, and then the Kabar to the Chaver, the peer, has to be like the honor or reverence due to the rabbi, the teacher, Umora Rab Lamora Shamayim, and then that goes a step up to Mora Shamayim, the reverence to the heavens. Nimso Shlushtam Shavim Lamora Shamayim. Then you have to treat everybody like you have the reverence of God, which, first of all, is just a problem in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah then would seem redundant. But even more problematic is that even possible to think that I'm going to treat my student like I would have the reverence for God? Even a treating a peer like a reverence for God seems strange. Doesn't seem like that would be an accurate concept. So the logic here might be lacking. So nimsu shloshtam shavim lamor shemayim v'zelo yala alev olam. Nobody would ever think that. That's a ridiculous thing to think. Sheyeh kavod atalmid al arav kimora harav al atalmid. It's a different, again, there's a hierarchy. It's ridiculous to think that. Just like we don't say a parent should treat their kids like the honor that they owe their parents. It's not true. There is a hierarchy here. There has to be maybe mutual respect between everybody, but it's not the same type of respect given. It's not just that it's ridiculous, it would be almost heretical to say such a thing, that I'm going to treat my student like I would treat God. You might have to think about what does it mean I treat my teacher like I treat God. That might be problematic as well, but perhaps we'll elaborate on that. So now, I don't know which, it depends. If you have the new version that we gave out today, we now flip the page, we're up to D. If you have the old version, I don't know what page we're on, but it's still D. We're in Pirkei Moshe D. Okay, so the suffix, that's suffix Rishon. Suffix Shani, second question is, Shimzeh Hayadas Hatan, if that's really what he meant, Hayalu Lekatzer Belomri, Kvot Tamitcha, Kvot Chavercha, Mor Rabcha, Kmor Shemayim. So besides for the conceptual problem with equating them, then you have the textual problem of then why are you saying this in so many layers? Just say it all together in one concept. If that's really what you wanted to say, that the kavod of the Talmud and the kavod of the Chaver and the kavod of the Rav should all be Kimura Shemayim. Save yourself some words and just say it in one shot. Once you're going to say they're all equal, just say it all in one quick, concise version. That's question number two. Question number three is an E, Hasafik Hashlishi, V'ayoser Otzumetzli, and this is the strongest one according to the Pirkei Moshe. Ki lo yitakin b'shum tzad l'hakish shnei dvar mischalfim b'min zelazeh. It doesn't make sense to equate two things that switch, that flip. What does that mean? V'hine, hakavod v'amora him mischalfim chaluf rav. V'eich yitakin lomar shekavod achaber yechaviv lo kimora harav. So he says the strongest question is as follows. It's not about A equals B and B equals C, therefore A equals C. It's more of a problem is that what we're saying to do is different. We're saying that for the teacher to the student, we're talking about honor. For the teacher to the peer, we're talking about honor. But then we switch to mora, to awe, to reverence. And once you do that, you can't just equate them. You can't just, you know, flip and insert and copy and paste kavod for mora. Those are different concepts. So because of that, it can't just be that we're saying all these things get together, wrap together in one big sandwich. It can't be. We have to separate these together, out from each other. So where does that leave us with? So now, after all these questions, he gets to F. Asher al kain sarach lomar ba'emes. Here's what we have to say. What do we have to say? She'ein kavanasa lahashvas hakavod haroi latam lekavod haroi lechaver. They are not equal. We are not saying that you give the same amount of honor for a student that you would give to a peer. Biyosa madregos mischalfos. These are different levels. It's a hierarchy. The point of this Mishnah is not to tell us the type of honor to give to each person. We already spoke about type of honor to give to different people, right? We've seen previous Mishnayos, as we related last week, that talk about honor that you give to a peer. We saw that. Remember, we asked that as a problem against our Mishnah, but we'll go back to last week's shiur. You can listen online. I actually haven't uploaded yet, but when I upload it, you can listen to last week's shiur where that point is made. But he's saying we already spoke about the types of kavod to give to different people. That's not what the Mishnah is talking about. Rak, bala hazir al hakavana ve'al toar hamachshava haru'uya b'chol echad mehem. This Mishnah is not talking about actions of kavod. It's talking about mindsets of kavod. What's my thought process? What's my machshava, my motivation, when I relate to these different elements of kavod? B'shiyeh chaviv alav b'napsho uv'machshavaso v'ritzono kavod ha-talmid. When it is not, remember, it is chaviv alav, the first part, is how beloved is the honor you give to your student. That's not what type of honor you give to your student. It's the mindset, it's the emotional experience of that honor. That belovedness of the honor that I give to my student should be kimoshu chaviv alav b'teva avaso v'ritzono mi'atzmo, according to our version. It should be the same belovedness and excitement that I have about my own honor. My own honor that I give to myself should be as beloved to me as I give to my students. Is it the same honor? No. In terms of practice, in terms of behavior, it's different. We don't treat people the same, but the motivation that we have and the mindset and the emotional experience that we have towards each one should be the same. Treat your friend with the respect due to that friend, but the belovedness of it should be as strong as it would be, regardless of who and regardless of the hierarchy. And that's why the kavod of your friend should be as beloved, the kavod of your student should be as beloved as to your friend. It's not that you should behave in that way. You're not saying to treat them the same. It's not possible. It's not right. It's the love that's the same. Each according to their own level in terms of the action, in terms of the behavior, but the belovedness and the way that our outlook should be the same when it comes to both. And he continues, G, Va'amar Od, Shechibaso b'chaber achaber, Shiala osa madrega achas, Yoser mimashi b'teva etzlo. When it comes to how now I am going to think about the honor that I give to my friend, it should be above and beyond what comes naturally to how I want to treat my friend. There's a baseline, a natural response as to how I interact with others. And that's okay to realize that it is not natural for me to say, we alluded to this last week, it is not natural for me to feel or to think or to want to give the same honor to my friend that I would want for myself. There is an ego, there is self-interest. That's natural. But the Mishnah is telling us, go above that. Go beyond that. He argues that when we talk about, when we say chaviv in the beginning of the Mishnah, you now use that concept of chaviv throughout the Mishnah. So even though later it talks about mora, he's saying that doesn't take away the fact that the chiba is there as well. So the concept of chiba, of belovedness, of love, of motivation, of mindset, goes throughout the Mishnah. Uki elu amar. So now we're up to G, third line. Uki elu amar bekavod chavercha chaviv alecha kimora rabcha. It's as if we're saying that the kavod, the honor that you give your friend should be as beloved to you, even though the word beloved is not in our Mishnah when it comes to the honor of a friend, but we're putting that chavir from the beginning to each one, to each clause. It should be beloved to you as the reverence you give to your teacher. Ki lo hishvek kavod achavir lemor arav shem ischalpun b'min. Remember, we're not saying that you give the honor of your friend like the mora, like the reverence of your teacher, because that's impossible. It doesn't make sense to say you're going to give reverence to your peer. That doesn't make sense. It's a different concept. Reverence is for a teacher. So what does it mean? It's not what it says. No, it means that the belovedness and the mindset, again, of how I interact with the kavod of my peer should be the mindset above and beyond what I would expect for a peer. That belovedness should go above and beyond and go one step higher as how I would relate in mora, in reverence towards my teacher, even though I'm not giving reverence to my friend, but that belovedness should be the same. It's the motivation, again, it's the love, it's the emotion that's the same. Each one is telling you to go above and beyond, one level up, your natural response. Again, it would treat your student the natural response you would give to your friend, which is unnatural for your students, but do that anyway. Go a step up. And then he keeps going and he elaborates. I think we've seen enough of the idea here. The big picture for the Pirkei Moshe is that the Mishnah is not talking about actions of kavod. It's talking about the motivation and mindset and emotion of kavod. And the main message is to go one step above the natural response in order to... Yes, so why do that? So this presumably then, go back to how we started, how is that going to create an environment for our learning? That's the point. Is that once we go above and beyond that natural response, our learning environment is going to be that much greater. And because of that, we're going to be able to learn better. You can take that same message, as Rabbi Shaloni's critique was, and say the same message can also be said about anything else. Right? That not just when it comes to learning, but any gathering or any interaction with anybody that we have, go one step above, and that's going to help that interaction be more beloved and be more appropriate for the sake of either gathering L'Shem Shemayim, like the Avraham Benel said, or for the sake of learning better, like the Pirkei Moshe is arguing. So I think it's a fascinating source, and it does a really clear and detailed analysis based on questions, a close reading of the Mishnah, and it comes out with a very nice message. Yeah, Trudy. That's a good counterpoint, is that they did not give each other kavod. That's good. And since you brought that up, I'll just give you a reference in the first source that we skipped, source number 7, the Me'iri, brings from the Avos Rabbi Nassan. We won't see it inside, but you can look at it on your own. Some examples from Tanakh where you see how Moshe interacted with Yoshua, how Yoshua interacted with Moshe, and how Moshe interacted with Aaron, and each one, the psukim that they give, brings a textual proof that the way that Moshe or Yoshua, etc., interacted with each one of these layers was like our Mishnah sayings, like basically goes a step above. So there's some textual proof from Tanakh. You can look at that inside. But I want to close with source number 10. So source number 10 is the Das Torah of Ruchim Lubavitz. And we'll see. We'll have to close with this or that other sheet I gave you. I forgot I gave you another sheet. We'll see how quickly it takes us to go through source number 10. So this is not a commentary on Pirkei Avos. It's actually a commentary on Chumash, related to what I just alluded to in the Me'iri, the context of the Psukim. Vayomer Moshe El Yoshua Bachar Lanu Anashim. So Moshe says to Yoshua, choose for us people. So the fact that, and this is what the Avos Rabbi Nassan says, what I just alluded to, that Moshe says, choose for us. Almost putting himself on the same level as Yoshua, so he's taking the kavod of his Talmud and raising it up to actually equate him to himself. So now he quotes here, Ruchim Lubavitz. Rashi li v'lecha hishvulo. He combines them, puts them together, equates them. Mikan amri hikvod tamidcha chavu alacha kishel chas. This is all in Rashi on that pasuk. Umat tam bedvarim. What's the reason? L'chor nir zeh k'minog shel sheker. This is falsehood. Why? It's not true. You're not me. You're my student. So why would we say this? This is falsehood. Ki be'emes ki rak talmidohu. He's my student. V'neim omrim lo, shisnag imo b'chabod yosem madrigaso. This, we don't want sheker. We don't want lying. This is lying. You're creating a fake world out there. That's what shezeh mitzad ha-to'elas harbe sheyeh b'zeh l'harav. So his first explanation is, so what's the reason if it's sheker? So the reason is, it's good for the teacher. Why is it good for the teacher? V'hush ha-acharei shechayev ha-talmid l'shamesh es-harav. V'harav gam mechuyav hu la-hakel oso ha-shimosh min ha-talmido. Because the student has to serve the teacher, as it were. The student has to help the teacher. And since this is a relationship where the student should help the teacher, this is self-interest of the teacher. That if I treat my student nicely, then the student's going to treat me better. And so it's all self-interest. Now, presumably we wouldn't want to read the Mishnah that way, because it takes away the sort of, you know, the good feeling of it if everybody's in it for their own self-interest. The backhanded motivation to treat somebody nicely is because it's good for you. So Rav Yerucham Lubavitz in the first paragraph says, maybe you could explain that way, but he does it a little bit better in the self-interest. Not that I can get out of it, you know, a nice cup of coffee or some water. That's not the point. He says the point is, in order to help the teacher not become arrogant, right? It's because that if somebody keeps serving you, you can easily get to the point where you're like, oh, it comes to me, and just give it to me. Right? So no, the counter to that, in order to help the teacher's midos, not to help the teacher's, you know, financial or make his life easier, but in order to help the teacher's midos that he doesn't become a bal gaiva, doesn't become arrogant, he has to go out of his way to show belovedness and honor to his student. So that's the first paragraph. Look at the second paragraph. But we're still not, it still doesn't leave us with a full explanation. How did that deals with the honor due to the student, right? To counteract the teacher's arrogance. But what about with the kavod given to the peer or the kavod given to the rav? Why do those go level up, right? So b'kavod ha-chavero ki-rabo v'rabo k'mor ha-shamayim. The epsher od. So this is the second explanation. Ki-acharei shebeteva adam ki-nota hu la-hashpil ezulaso l'mata mi-medregoso ha-amitis. So he takes the Pirkei Moshe, even though he doesn't quote him, and takes it a step further. Pirkei Moshe said, it's natural for us to treat the students on the sort of, it's not natural for us to treat the student like ourselves. It's not natural. So go above and beyond natural. He goes even more negative, as it were, in terms of the natural response. The natural response is not that we don't treat people more than they deserve. We treat people less than they deserve. That's what we generally do. It's we do lamata mi madrigaso amitis. Ki al kein sifsalo atori ye kavod tamitzcha chavav alacha keshalcha ukavod chavercha k'mor ravcha k'mor ravcha k'mor shemayim. So we have to tell you to step up. Ki yagdilas kulam od b'mayla yosek vod madrigasam, to go above and beyond what they actually deserve. V'alavai shebanagaso lahagdil ma'lasam yagia shelakol apachos yichabdim madrigasam be'emes. At the very least, if you try to like shoot above what they deserve, maybe you'll get to at least what they deserve. You'll just get to the reality of what they deserve. Halavai b'yichaber es tamido v'chaveru es rabos of karoi lembe emes. Ba'umnam ki musukaso. So that, it's a very fascinating, very interesting, and very realistic response to how human nature is to put people down. So we have to go to the extreme, like the Rambam says, you have to go to the extreme. So eventually you'll level out to the middle, to what they actually deserve. They get a fascinating response. One last quick source here in the second sheet that I gave out, the new sheet. So this is taken from a book, which I will show you afterwards. Right now it's holding up my phone, so I don't want to move it. But it's a book that I just got with the Hanukkah gift that you guys gave for us. I'm already using it, so thank you very much. It's a book called Relics for the Present by Levi Cooper. He's a teacher at Pardes Institute, and it's called Contemporary Reflections on the Talmud. Basically goes through, as two volumes, just on brachos, the Gemara brachos, getting ready for Daf Yomi. That's why we thought this was a nice idea to bring in, because this is the first, the third daf of brachos, which is in a few days for the new Daf Yomi cycle. So Levi Cooper gives you a beautiful analysis of various agadic the story and message parts of the Gemara, not the halacha parts per se, although he might touch on that as well. But he does what we call the agadata of the Gemara. He gives you a nice contemporary explanation, bringing in some sources from classic Mefarshim, classic commentators of the Talmud, and then he gives his own spin. So with this, the Gemara, we're not going to get into the details of the Gemara, but the Gemara gives a story where a certain Rabbi Yossi was encountered Eliyahu HaNavi. And the context of the story has to do with how to daven, and where do you daven when you're on the road, and Rabbi Yossi davened in a place where it was a churva, it was dangerous, there was stones falling different places. So Eliyahu comes and gives him a critique for the fact that he put himself in danger for davening in this dangerous place. So Levi Cooper goes through these different messages to take from this Gemara, but then he gives his own. So look where on page 10, the bottom of the page, I bracketed it off for you. So he says as follows: despite Rabbi Yossi's illustrious biography, surely Elijah the prophet would be considered his superior. It is somewhat surprising, therefore, that Elijah opened the discussion by addressing Rabbi Yossi with a title of respect. Peace unto you, my teacher. That's how Eliyahu HaNavi speaks to Rabbi Yossi. Peace unto you, my teacher. This is especially interesting since Elijah did not approve of Rabbi Yossi's action and was about to scold him. Eliyahu gives him a musar, critiques him. To be sure, Rabbi Yossi returned the greeting appropriately. Peace unto you, my teacher and my master. So Rabbi Yossi knew that this was, he stepped it up and said, not to, my teacher and my master. And indeed, further on in the story, Elijah called Rabbi Yossi my son. These titles, though, do not mitigate the oddity of the great Elijah the prophet approaching Rabbi Yossi and calling him my teacher. We might suggest that herein lies a fifth lesson that can be derived from the story. Despite Elijah's greatness and mythic status, he did not deem it beneath him to approach Rabbi Yossi and address him respectfully. Different achievements in society or different roles in the community should not lead us to the mistaken belief that any party is undeserving of respect. Is exactly our message of the Mishnah, and he goes on and quotes some more sources. You can read it on your own. But no matter who you are, even Eliyahu HaNavi gives the appropriate respect to Rabbi Yossi. Not that he's less than Rabbi Yossi. Eliyahu presumably is on a higher level than Rabbi Yossi, but everybody deserves respect, no matter who they are, and no matter what position they are in society. Respect goes to everybody. And he even goes on and quotes other sources that forget about students. Anybody you meet in the shuk, anybody you interact with on the streets, everybody deserves respect. That's one of the main important messages of our Mishnah. So we close here, give people opportunity to go to the rally. I encourage you to go if you can. And Chaim, please.